Announcement before we pray. We have a new book out, The Prayers Now Written and Writing, Exposition of Prayers, out there if you want a copy. We will also have a short business meeting to approve the church budget at the end of church. Let's pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful for your love and your mercy. Thankful for being such a kind God. Father, we cannot fathom your love, nor can we even comprehend the majestic unfolding of your plan. You show yourself beyond measure that you're a good God, even when we don't understand. We are thankful that you have so chosen us to belong to you. So as we have gathered this morning, we do so in obedience to the instruction that we should gather in order to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. So, as we have gathered to be taught a portion of your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable each one to hear precisely what you want us to hear this morning. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Technically, we're still dealing with Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I say technically because we're not really going to do much in that passage this morning. Well, the thing is, we are really concerned. We started with verse 5, where we're dealing with a responsibility of older women to younger women in the congregation. And so we started looking at the phrase, to be busy at home. In verse 5, to be busy at home. So we are considering then the third virtue essential in domestic life that older women are to instill on younger women, which is that of being always busy in a profitable manner. Now, this virtue again is described in the NIV of Titus chapter 2 verse 5 when it says to be busy at home. We indicated that the phrase is concerned with teaching younger women to be good homemakers. Consequently, we started to consider the question of what the older women should teach younger women with respect to this virtue. Our answer is that the older women should primarily teach younger women to imitate the activities of the woman considered the model wife in the scripture. That is, the capable wife described in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Now, we stated that there are two activities that should be conveyed to younger women by older women who themselves presumably fits the description of the capable wife, which are providing for the needs of the household with respect to clothing and food, and being a good manager of the household finances. Now, we started in our last study to consider her activities. Now, the first activity of the capable wives that keeps her busy is providing for the needs of her household that we describe as consisting of two areas. Now, before I mention the two areas, I'd like you to remember this. The scripture has all the details of this life that we need to live in. If it is properly taught and explained, it has all the details that you and I need in order to be able to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and one that brings blessing upon us. Now, I make this comment because it wasn't too long, 2 years ago, I was reading something about those Americans who became Muslims. And one of the ladies interviewed in that article said, well, the reason I like Islam is because it has details of things you need to know. And she came out of, well, I won't call the church she used to go. Anyway, and I said to myself, maybe they're not teaching the Bible. The Bible has a whole lot more than any other human being can ever imagine, because Quran is a human imagination, except for the part of it that is from our scripture. And so when I look at a passage like this and see every little detail of how a woman should conduct herself, it makes me think about that article. Anyway, the first area concerns, as I said, food for the family that involves two things. There are two things involving that. A first thing is that she gathers all the food for her family, wherever she can find it, at the best price. It is this action that is described in the simile. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar, of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 14, that we considered in our last study. So we proceed, though, to consider the second thing she does, which means we now go back to Proverbs 31, 13 through 22 and 24. And before I read it, let me correct myself. I made an error last week. It doesn't really affect anything I'm teaching. It's just an error. When I said I'm going to skip verse 20, I meant verse 23. Even though I put verse 20 in my note, it's really verse 23. That's what I meant. I should have said I am going to skip it. And because you notice the thing I wrote, verses starting through 22 through 24 and 24. Which means I'm skipping verse 23. Again, we read from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13 reads, "She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the staff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet." Verse 22. "She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple." Skip verse 23, go to verse 24. "She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with such." Now the second thing then that a capable wife does to meet the needs of her household with respect to food is to cook. To cook. As indicated in Proverbs 31 verse 15. Proverbs 31 verse 15. It reads again, "She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls." Now, the capable wife is devoted to ensuring she cooks for her family. Now, as you may expect, this activity is one that some women today do not want to do or care less about doing. In effect, there are some wives who are content with not cooking for their family. I'm saying that there are many young wives who do not want to cook for their family, but rather want to feed them all the time with what we often describe as fast food or want to eat out all the time. Now, they are content in giving their children, most of the time, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, a woman who does this sort of thing is one that cannot be described as a capable wife or one that is busy all the time. I'm saying that some of these young women rarely serve hot, nutritious meals to their family because they are lazy to cook, although some of them do not work outside the home. Now, it is understandable that a woman who works outside the home will occasionally not provide hot, cooked food, but there is no excuse not to provide hot, cooked meal or well-prepared meal for the family, especially in the days in which we live, where we have refrigerators and microwaves. Now, there was no problem of this type in the ancient world, although they didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have microwaves. But in the ancient world of agricultural economy, where families lived near their farms, so a wife cooked food daily for the family. Now today, families, for the most part, do not live in farms. Since we are not agriculturally based economy, and so there should be a change in this matter of cooking for the family by the capable wife that requires a different approach. Now what I'm trying to say is the scripture is written based on a particular culture. Now the truth of God doesn't depend on culture. So what we do is we know what the truth is, the principle. Then we take it out of that culture and apply it to our own culture or to the time in which we live. But the basic truth never changes. It's independent of the time in which you live. So the basic principle, a wife cooks for the family. That doesn't change. Now we live in a time where she's not supposed to do that. Well, a capable wife, wife who is concerned about feeding the family properly, will plan ahead the meals for the family, even if she works outside the home. She can plan ahead. Now that's part of being a wise, believing lady. So you take, for example, as when she works outside the home, a woman who is a capable wife will think ahead with respect to the meals for the week in terms of how to feed her family. Consequently, she could prepare a lot of food over the weekend and refrigerate them for the family to eat during the week by reheating them using the microwave. Now that's an application, because you don't read microwave in the Bible. Of course, my comments so far have been focused on the younger women. But it is equally true that some of the older women who should teach the younger women are themselves guilty of not providing their household with good cooked meal. Now, this is particularly the case when their children are grown. Now, that children are grown does not mean that a household has ceased to exist so long as the woman's husband is alive. Now, what I'm saying is, remember what the family began in, both husband and wife alone. They end up alone. That is fact. In between, the children come and go. So I don't see why a woman should start cooking, and then when it gets the letter, she stops cooking. Now this is particularly the case, again, as I say, they do that when children are grown. Now that children are grown, again, does not mean that a family has ceased to exist. Now failure to cook meals for the husband is a failure that indicates that a wife is no longer capable in the sense that we're considering, and so no longer the kind of wife that is pleasing to the Lord. Remember Proverbs 31, where we're dealing with, it's actually describing us the kind of wife that pleases the Lord. So if she's no longer doing that, then she's no longer that kind of one that pleases the Lord. Now a person who is prone to being rebellious to God's word, or who wants excuse not to obey God's word, will say to me, where in this passage of Proverbs 31 verse 15 does it say a wife should cook food for the husband, or household, since the word cook is not found in the verse? True, the word cook is not in the passage, but it is implied, as I will demonstrate from what is written in verse 15 that we're considering. Now, to begin with, the first thing that is said in verse 15 with respect to the capable wife that shows she is not lazy is that she habitually wakes up early in the morning, as in the sentence of verse 15 where it says she gets up while it is still dark. She wakes up while it's still, she gets up while it's still dark. Now literally the Hebrew reads, and she rises while it is still night. She rises while it is still night. Now the reason, this is because of two words used in the Hebrew. The first Hebrew word that may mean to rise or to get up or to stand, that is used. Now the word, the Hebrew word, may also mean to come to fruition or to establish, as it is used to speak of God's planning coming into fruition in Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. Proverbs 19 verse 21 reads, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now the sentence, it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, may alternatively be translated, the purpose of the Lord will be established. The purpose of the Lord will be established. However, in our passage of Proverbs 31 verse 15, the Hebrew word is used in the sense of waking up and arising out of bed, so that it means to get up from sleep. Now the second Hebrew word, translated dark in Proverbs 31 verse 15 that we're looking at, means really night, night, as that period between sunset and sunrise, as it is used to describe the time of the activity of the woman who replaced her dead child with a living child of her roommate in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 20. First Kings chapter 3 verse 20. First Kings chapter 3 verse 20. It is, so she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. Now, the issue here is a Hebrew word translated dark is really the word night in this passage. Now, in our passage of Proverbs 31 verse 15, though, the word is used to describe the time before sunrise while it is still dark outside. Thus, the capable woman is one that wakes up quite early in the morning while it is still dark outside. Now, the capable wife wakes up quite early in the morning for a purpose, as indicated by a Hebrew word that appears twice in the second half of verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 31. And that word is translated "and" in the New American Standard Bible and the English Standard Version. But its first occurrence is not translated in the NIV. Now, it is true that the English version, that are more literal in their translation, translated the Hebrew word "and" in its both occurrences in the second half of verse 15. But the first occurrence of the word is used to express purpose, in which case the Hebrew word should be translated "so that," or simply "that." Or it can be translated in a way to reflect purpose. Now, most of our English versions did not convey this meaning of purpose in their translation, but the today's English version and the contemporary English version reflect this interpretation, although they did not use the expression "so that," or even "that." But the fact that they began the second half of verse 15 with the verbal phrase "to prepare food," that's the purpose, to prepare food. That indicates the purpose. Now, the purpose then of the capable wife rising from bed early in the morning is given in the sentence of Proverbs 31 verse 15 that we're considering, where it says, "She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls." Now, before we comment on this sentence, we should recognize that the focus of the passage that describes the capable woman or wife is her activities that indicate that she is a busy woman who works hard for the benefit of her household. That is the focus. That is the emphasis. Now, I draw your attention to this point because some of us are prone to be shallow in our spiritual life, so that we look for excuses for not doing what we should do, or we look for passages that would justify our actions, even though those passages will really not do that. Now, this being the case, a woman may think that the first thing the capable woman did after she woke up was to immediately attend to the need of her family, but that seems unlikely. Now, when we read that passage, it says, okay, she just got up and started going to the kitchen. I said, that's unlikely. But that's not the case. Now, my argument is going to be based on the fact that this is the truth. It is your spiritual life that determines everything about you. Everything. I don't care what your profession, whatever it is, your spiritual life determines that. Your attitude, everything comes from your spiritual life. So, which means if you don't attend to your spiritual life, everything falls apart. So you need to attend to the spiritual life. So that's why I believe that she woke up doesn't mean she just woke up immediately going to the kitchen. Now, so my argument also is because a woman of the caliber described in Proverbs 31 must be spiritually minded person, as reflected in her character mentioned in the passage. She will be what we call a lightweight spiritual. She wouldn't be that. Now, the implication is that the capable woman will rise early first to attend to her spiritual life before getting involved in the mundane things of life. Then she gets up first, takes care of her spiritual life, because she knows that's the foundation. I have to have my foundation to go out this today, whatever day it is. Without it, what am I going to do? So she begins by attending to her spiritual life. So that's what I'm arguing. So we say that because those who are spiritually minded endeavor to attend to their spiritual life the first thing in the morning when they wake up, that this woman did the same. Now, we can say, we can illustrate this fact that, yes, that's what spiritually minded people do. Because we can deduce from examples we find in the scripture. Cana. And her husband woke up early to worship, as we can gather from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. In other words, what I'm arguing is, if you're a spiritually minded person, you wake up early enough to take care of your spiritual life before, you know, get those things that you need to do to ensure that you are attending to your spiritual life. You do that first, before you even interact with any other human being. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 19 says, early the next morning, they arose and worship before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with his with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now the psalmist indicated it was his habit to wake up early to pray, as implied in Psalms 119 verse 147. Psalms 119 verse 47. Psalms 119 verse 47 is where we get the same habit of the psalmist in terms of attending to his spiritual life, in this case, prayer. So it says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. That's prayer. He knows what he's going to, at least he knows the cold facts about the hard world in which we live, so he doesn't know what's going to be facing. So he calls up every morning and cries to the Lord for help before he even face whatever it is. He said, I have put my hope in your word. Now the Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, no doubt, rose early in the morning to pray. We don't have much of information about that, but one passage at least shows us that must have been his habit, as we gather from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Now, all we're doing is, though, as we're looking at this, is to remind you, you need to be one that's organized. If people are organized in their lives, they can have specific time for everything. In terms of course, God can rearrange it in certain ways, but normally you have a schedule that you come up with. As I wake up this time, I pray and listen to them, or whatever it is, I do that before I go out. But you have to organize your life that way. If you run there, and your life is all in shambles, then you don't organize it. So you don't know when to do what in your life. Anyway, so this is what we know about the Lord. He said very early, Mark 1 verse 35, said very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. So these examples that we have cited help us to deduce that a capable wife will normally begin her day by attending to her spiritual life first, before dealing with the daily affairs of her life. Now, you should sleep enough if you get enough, you know, restful sleep. At the same time, the Bible says that don't love sleep. Don't love sleep. Now, if you don't have, you know, there are some who say, I got to have me 10 hours of sleep, maybe. I don't know. But all I know is, if that comes into you dealing with your spiritual life, something is wrong. That's all I can say. Anyway, so we need to be so involved in dealing with our spiritual life, attending to it early in the morning. So then what I'm saying again is simply that the information that we have in our passage that we're studying It's not really given to focus on her spiritual life in that respect or the activities involved, but the passage is to focus on her activities that should convince us that she is not a lazy woman. That's all it is. But one who is hardworking and never cherishes idleness. That's all. So that's why nothing was said about waking up in the morning to first pray or do whatever it is that they did at the early period of history of the people of Israel. Anyway, be that as it may, the purpose of the capable wife early rise from bed regarding her physical activities is to provide food for her family, as in the sentence of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15 that we're studying. Again, that sentence says, she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Now, I submit to you that although the word cook, remember that's my argument? Someone said, I don't see the word cook here. How do you come out with a woman cooking? Anyway, so I submit to you though that although the word cook is not used in our passage, but the sentence implies that she cooked meal for her family, as I will demonstrate. See, the word provides of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that basically means to give. But it has other nuances. Now the word may mean to allow, to let. The same Hebrew word, natan, as it is used in that sense of to allow, to let, to indicate that God kept Abimelech from having sexual relationship with Sarah in Proverbs 20 verse 6. Proverbs 20 verse 6, and it reads, then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now that would have been easy if that is true of all of us all the time, that the Lord will not let us sin. If that would be true. But the thing is, when it comes to his decree, whatever is in his decree, he will keep us from doing against it. That's what it is. And it's not, you know, you may want to fail another, but if it's something has to do with his decree, you're not going to, he's going to ensure that you're not going to go against it. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, he has ways of doing things for us that we all can say. Now, I can, you know, I had an experience this, really on Friday, that as to what I'm telling you, in a sense, there are things that the Lord can do when his decree is involved or his plan that must be fulfilled is involved. I normally study to a certain time of the day, and then I'll go do some about 30, 35 minutes exercise because of having to sit that long. But anyway, this past Friday, I had the intention to go see a member who is in the hospital and all that little things I need to do. And so I decided, I need to do my exercise at such and such a time, and then I go and go to the place. Bearing in mind, I have to be back in Bay Spring around 3:30 because I have to go to the prison ministry at 5 o'clock. Well, I got up, planning to go do the exercise. I just picked up my cell phone. And I got this sharp pain right here, and immediately I couldn't walk. So the exercise is out of the place. I said, okay, Lord, I got it. So I'm not supposed to do exercise. Because if I had done my exercise and gone the time I planned to go, I would have been late. I would have missed going to the gym ministry. And I couldn't walk for 2 days. I see, of course, I'm better now. But that's, I was talking about it. I said, okay, Lord, that's a painful way to tell me. And many times, as I've argued, that's what he does. But when it comes to his decree, he will not permit you to go against it. So that's what happened with Abimelech. Because as he touched that woman, it would have created a doubt when she eventually became pregnant with his father. That's the reason. There was, should there be no doubt that in this particular case, that when Isaac was born, there will be no doubt. It was a leper. So that's what happened. Now, I know somebody has asked me several times, why don't the Lord keep me from doing that? I said, no, he doesn't. That they touch his decree, he will keep you and me from doing it. So anyway, this is so the expression, not let you touch her, may alternatively be translated, not allow you to touch her. So you see the Hebrew word can mean let or allow. Now the Hebrew word may also mean to pay wages, as it is used in the instruction of how to deal with a daily laborer in Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 15. Deuteronomy 24 verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 15. It reads, pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and is counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Now the instruction, pay him his wages, is more literally, this is where the Hebrew reads, you shall give his wage. You shall give his wage. Now, because the Lord is telling people at that time, if somebody work for you, you must pay. If you don't, they say, it'd be a sin if the person complained to me that you didn't pay. Now, the Hebrew word may also mean to set food before someone, as it is used in the miracle of prophet Elisha's feeding of 100 people in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 44. Second Kings, chapter 4, verse 44. Second Kings, chapter 4, verse 44. Reads, then he set it before them, and they ate, and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Here, it is bread that was to be set before the people. So that the Hebrew word, in this particular case, has the sense of setting something, even though it means to give, but here it means to set something before another. Now the word also, the Hebrew word may have the meaning of to feed. As implied in Micah chapter 3, verse 5. Micah chapter 3, verse 5. Micah chapter 3, verse 5. It reads, this is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace. If he does not, they prepare to wage war against him. Now, so here the prophet indicates that the false prophets declare peace to those who pay them for their services by providing food for them, so that those who do not feed them are really their enemies. So the clause, when it says, if he does not, is literally from the Hebrew, but whoever puts nothing into their mouths, that's how the Hebrew reads, whoever puts nothing into their mouths, indicating that our Hebrew word has the meaning to put. Now, this aside, it is in the sense of setting food before someone that the Hebrew word then is used in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. In other words, the capable wife gets up early to set food before her family. Now, it does not require great imagination to recognize that she could not have set raw food items before the family. I mean, consequently, I know that this is a little bit different because you think in time in which we live. Now, in other words, all I'm saying, she got up early, set up food. But not raw food, not raw food. I mean, I know that people eat cereal, today. But that wasn't something common in the ancient world. So consequently, we should conclude that the woman cooked food for her family. Otherwise, what she's sitting in front of them. Now, as I mentioned, the translators of the today's English version and the contemporary English version captured the sense of the Hebrew word as involving cooking food for their family, so that the sentence of the NIV that we're studying in Proverbs 31 verse 15 that says, she gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family. This is how either today's English version or contemporary English version translates something close to this. This is where they have it. She gets up before daylight to prepare food for her family. Now, tell me how you prepare food and not cook it. So, the word cook, not use, but that's what it means. So anyway, there should be no misunderstanding or any misunderstanding. That the second thing then, the capable wife does to meet the needs of her household with respect to food is to cook it. She prepares the right kind of meal for the family. Again, I go back. You say, oh, all this in the Bible? And some say, well, that's kind of trivial, is it? God doesn't do anything trivial. So if he has this information in the scripture, it must be because God who created us, he is all this planner, knows how our sinful natures will work. And this plays much into the hands of a woman that's not controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that this, what was studied, is an indication of how she interacts in her family with other, in this case, members of the family in terms of this provision. Anyway, we should be clear that what the Holy Spirit then conveyed about the capable wife is that she feeds her family with food that she prepared or cooked. Now, the passage does not tell us whether she prepared only breakfast for the family when she got up, or whether she cooked food for the day. Now, I remember when I first got here, knowing some families, One of them, the wife, would get up very early in the morning, make breakfast, and cook supper. I mean, cook lunch again for the family when they come back from church. Now, those kind of women are rare. Some younger women can hardly even come here in time. And I'm sure they're only cooking breakfast. I remember, at least I was aware of these two families. They did that. And I'm sure, I mean, that other women at that age level, they did that. So that they had to just come back home and reheat things, and they're ready to feed the lunch to their family. So what happened to, that's the kind of woman the Bible is describing. What happened to that? And some of you think it's not important. It is important. Because it tells a lot about your spiritual life. Yeah, I know. I can imagine so many that fight, husband and wife fight over what cook and what didn't cook. I understand that. But I'm teaching you what the Bible teaches. Not what I think or what you think. Anyway, so all I'm saying is, you know, it doesn't really tell us what she did in terms of how much she cooked when she got up. Well, it is really possible that she only prepared breakfast for the husband and for the household, with lunch and supper to be prepared later. Remember what I said, the background is agricultural economy. They all live in the farm, so she didn't go anywhere. She would stay there, so there would be no need to prepare any other thing. When time for lunch, she can just get out of the farm or whatever, go do it. So you see what I'm saying? Anyway, the interpretation that I've given to you seems to be supported by the phrase, "and portions for her servant girls." And portions for her servant girls. That supports my interpretation, and I'm going to show you why I say it seems. So we stated that this Bible phrase seems to support the idea that a capable wife provided food for the day for her family, because the Hebrew phrase translated "and portions for her servant girls," that phrase is subject to two possible interpretations because of the word "portions" of the NIV. Now, the word "portions" is translated from a Hebrew word with several meanings. It may mean a prescribed task. A prescribed task. As in the assignment given to the Israelites as slaves in Egypt, as we read in Exodus chapter 5, verse 14. Exodus chapter 5, verse 14. Exodus chapter 5, verse 14 reads, "The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, 'Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?'" See, that phrase, "your quota of bricks," is more literally "your task of making bricks." Your task of making bricks. Now, the Hebrew word may mean then prescribed portion or allowance of food, as it is used to describe the allotted portion of food to the priests of Egypt that kept their land from being taken over by Pharaoh. Now, we studied this long time ago, but I'm going to refresh your mind. In Genesis chapter 47, verse 22. Now, if you recall, when we started a long time ago, we did indicate that a time came because of the severity of the famine that most Egyptians had to sell their land to the Pharaoh in order to get food. That's what wisdom that how God used Joseph to enrich Pharaoh. So, but there was only one group that he didn't touch their land. And that's the priests. Even though they were born in idolatry. But there's something that they understood. Passed on from Noah and so on and so forth through Shem and order. That they understood that those who have the priestly function must be taken care of very well. Therefore, this is what even in idolatry, their priests they take care of them. So this is what they did. Genesis 47 verse 22 says, however, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. In other words, Pharaoh ensured that those priests, even though they are all in idolatry, that they took care of their priests. And that's what happened here. Here, though, our Hebrew word is translated allotment. Allotment. That refers to food, allowance, or prescribed portion of food that goes to the priests so that they have their daily food supplied. In that way, whatever land they had, they didn't have to sell it like the rest of them. Of the people that had to sell theirs to get food. Now there are other meanings of our Hebrew word, but the two meanings that we have given are responsible for two possible interpretations of the phrase, go back to where we're examining, Proverbs 31 verse 15, go back to that phrase, and portions for her servant girls. So what I have shown is that the word portions translates from a Hebrew word that has two basic meanings. It can mean portion, it can mean task, and so on. Or prescribed task, or portions, or food allowance, or prescribed portion. So, based on that, those two possible meanings, then we'll have two possible interpretations. A first interpretation is that the phrase and portions for her servant girls refers to allowance of food that a capable wife provides for her female slaves. That's the first interpretation. That it will refer to the food allowance that she gave to her female slaves, because the servant girls here really mean female slaves. That's the first interpretation. The second interpretation is that it refers to the daily chores or tasks that a capable wife assigns to her maids. Notice this? Because we remember that the meaning of the Hebrew word that we said has to do with a prescribed task. A prescribed task. So some say, well, this passage is, this phrase is only say, yes, she did something by telling them, this is what you're supposed to do for this day. In other words, she defined what they're supposed to do. Anyway, now each of these interpretations make sense. And fit the context, really. Now, the interpretation of the phrase referring to allowance of food makes sense because of the preceding sentence is concerned with food. So that it makes good sense that the author was still thinking of food when he wrote down the verbal phrase that we are considering and portions for her servant girls. The second interpretation, on the other hand, also that refers to the task assigned to the maid makes sense. Because it would seem strange that the mates will be singled out after it has been said that a capable wife cooked food for her household, since ancient household included the slaves. Of course, we're going to have, you know, so consequently, each interpretation makes sense. But then we go look deeper into the context and look at what is more likely than not. So consequently, as I'm saying, it's really difficult to be certain of the interpretation of the phrase. But the first interpretation that has to do with providing food, portion of food for the slave girls, is to me what is meant. This is because it's probably what is meant. This is because the context of provision of food. That's to me should override every other term, the context. Now it's likely that the phrase and portions of her servant girls may actually be translated something like, indeed, portions for her servant girls, to emphasize the wife's character of being fair to her mates. Being fair to her mates. In other words, the phrase then may be included to indicate that a capable wife is kind to the point that she takes good care of her maids or her slaves. That's why I argue for the first one. So it is perhaps the case then that the capable wife supervised the slave girls as they prepared breakfast for the family. In other words, she may not really even prepare the breakfast or anything. But she gets up, rallies around those, because she has some slaves to help. She supervises them, tells them, do this. I mean, that way she's really doing what she's supposed to do. So that probably may be the case. Furthermore, although the second interpretation speaks to her managerial capability, in that she knows how to assign tasks. Now, one of the good things, a good manager knows this thing, is to know how to delegate. Because if you're a manager and you take it all on yourself, you're just going to wear yourself out quickly. So a good manager must know how to delegate. Of course, when I say that, that means that a good manager must have responsible people around him or her that can be delegated to do what needs to be done. So, although, as I said, the second interpretation speaks to her managerial capability and that she knows how to assign tasks to her maids, but it is probably, or perhaps, that her compassion is being emphasized. This notwithstanding, we contend then that a capable wife or woman who no doubt is compassionate, good manager, whether she takes care of her family by cooking their food for them or supervise is cooking by her maids. Now I know that in this country, this kind of teaching causes problem for some women who do not think they should cook for their husbands. But for a believing lady, I'm not concerned about the rest of the United States. I'm only concerned believers in the local church of Christ. But for the believing lady, it is important that she should cook for her husband if she's going to be the capable wife that pleases the Lord. Thus, the older women should encourage the younger women with respect to cooking food for their family, despite whatever is the trend in the society. So this brings us to the second area of activity of the capable wife that keeps her busy. A second area involves clothing for her household and herself. Now, the idea of the capable wife seen to the clothing needs of her household is now introduced, or we go back to Proverbs, where we're starting chapter 31, go to verse 13. But I think, looking at the Proverbs, it's time to take a break, and after a break, we'll look at it.